All right, you ready?
Yeah, come on.
Now don't get on here and start lying.
Lying? Who lying? We're going to stick to the script.
Marriage No Cap.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to the podcast.
Welcome back, guys. Thanks for joining us.
So we left off in the last episode talking about pregnancy and our fertility journey, and it was a three-part episode. If you have not listened to that, we definitely encourage you to go back and check that out. And so in this episode, we are going to kind of like flow off of the last episode and really talk about how to maintain the things that you're asking God for or the things that God has given you. And we just want to jump in from there.
Absolutely. Yeah. So go listen to part one, part two, part three, of just the valleys and mountains of our pregnancy journey and what we wanted and what we just asked God for. And in the same vein that we petitioned God and we prayed, we continue to pray when we got pregnant. We continue to, because, you know, that came with a bunch of anxiety, a bunch of what if questions and what if this happens and what if that happens. And so I feel like when you do get that blessing, you know, in this conversation, we're talking about a baby and pregnancy, but it applies to when you get a job, when you get that house, when you get that new car, when you get that new relationship, when you do all something new, when you get something that you physically think that God gave it to you or made way for that to come to you. You almost have to double down and get more intentional about keeping and maintaining that thing.
Yeah. And it's like you want to take care of it because it was a gift that was given to
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. And when it's a gift, and especially when it's undeserved, because everything that we have in our life, we look at it as it's undeserved because God gave us something. He sacrificed his son. And in turn, he gave us a life that we can live like we've never sinned.
Yeah.
And when God does bring those things to us in our lives, we always feel in our life where we're undeserved, where, man, God, you're so good. You gave us this. There was times where we didn't doubt you, but we didn't think that we were worthy. And in a sense where it's like, God, you're so good that you, through all of this, you continue to keep us and continue to bless us and give us grace.
Or even not necessarily for me, even worthy, but just not something that he wanted for me.
Right.
And I felt that about pregnancy. I think that's why I'm still like, I'm so shocked that I'm pregnant because, and I say that still being 30, you know, 30 plus weeks, I'm like still shocked. And I say it like all the time. I look at my stomach and I'm like, dang, my stomach is growing. Like, and I always look at King. I'm like, look at my stomach. And he's probably like, girl, I look at you every single day. I see your stomach all the time. But like, I'm still shocked at the fact that I'm pregnant because, you know, after so long, I was like, maybe that's not God's desire for my life. So let me just move on and continue to pray for his desires for me and his will for me. But also, you know, I want to go on vacation or I want to do X, Y, and Z. And I still write those things down that I want to do. I still want to go on vacation. I'm still going to. but like, there's still things that I want to do and I'm still writing those things down. But I'm like, you know, if those are not your will for my life, I'm okay with that. And I got to the point where I was like, okay, I'm okay with us not having children. I'm totally fine with it. Although if that's something that God desires for us and we do, I'm going to be totally okay with that. I'm going to be ecstatic. You know what I mean? And so I remember being like, I don't think that that's God's desire for us to have kids, and that's okay. That's okay. And so let me kind of just move past that. And so I really thought in my mind and in my heart that we would not have children. So every time she kicks, I'm just like blown away.
Sure.
There's so many times like I will lay in bed and I feel her kicking and I will talk to the Holy Spirit and be like, I cannot believe I'm pregnant. I'm still shocked. Like, wow, like God, this was your desire for us. And I'm very thankful, very much thankful, but I'm still in shock because I'm like, we're about to bring a human into this world. And I never thought that that was going to be God's desire for us. So it wasn't necessarily that I thought, okay, I'm not worthy of him bringing this into my life. It was just not his will for me, and that's okay.
Yeah. When, as soon as we figured out we were married and we went to the, or not married, pregnant, and we went to the doctor and they confirmed it as far as like, you know, the baby's this size and the baby's doing this and you're definitely, you know, 4 weeks pregnant and whatever. Like we got the, the confirmation from the pregnancy test, but also we went to the doctor a few days later and it was like, okay, this is happening. This is, you know, blah, blah, and all sorts of stuff. I never felt a sense of peace because God allowed this to happen. He made it happen. And if he made that happen, there's more in store for us to keep going in this process and this journey. Absolutely. So I didn't look at it like, oh my gosh, like we have to buy diapers and we have to do this and we have to do all this stuff like that a baby that comes with having a baby. I had complete peace over it because God made this happen.
Yeah.
Like this wasn't us manufacturing this. This wasn't us manipulating the system to gain this. This wasn't us cheating or tricking the Gucci.
Yeah.
It was us living in the promise of God and him saying, I'll deliver. And so I wasn't worried or I wasn't nervous of how some people say like, oh, you know, I was shocked because what am I going to do with a baby and all this other stuff and all of like, mm-hmm. you know, all the things that come with raising a child. I didn't feel none of that because I knew since God gave us this, inserted this into our life, that he was going to make a way. Absolutely. And so when I pray to him now, even though we're 29 going on 30 weeks, My prayer to him is, God, thank you for protecting us. Thank you for preparing us. Thank you for guiding us. Thank you for leading us. And then as soon as I thank him, I mainly pray over our bodies, of course. But then I end the prayer of like, God, you know, you're the greatest because you have done this thing in our life that we couldn't do ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And there's things in this lifetime that we won't be able to do ourselves.
Right.
That's why we need a savior. That's why we need to truly rely on him, because there's things in this world that don't make sense. There's things that will let your feelings and emotions down. But if you give your attention and focus to God, all the other stuff will be in order.
1,000%.
And so I never thought, and I still to this day have not been able to like allow myself to have anxiety or about a baby and having a child and like all the things, because I know since he inserted this into his life and it was his will, I'm prepared. I'm ready.
Yeah.
And so no matter what happens or what we face, I just have confidence fully in God to say, I can do this because God allowed it.
Right.
And I'm super confident and super excited to go through this journey and this next stage of our life together, knowing that God is in the center of it and I'm able to give my confidence to him.
Right.
Like my confidence isn't in us or isn't in myself. My confidence is him in me. And when situations do come up, I can yield back to who he is in me and who he is in his word.
1,000%. And I think that's something that has always helped me to maintain my prayer.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to certain things that I feel like I want or certain things that he's given us, like mm-hmm. to help me maintain, because I'm like, okay, if we're in the midst of this thing and something goes sideways and I'm like, oh my gosh, is this going to happen? Is this going to be able to do blah, blah, blah. Like, let's say we're buying a house and we're in the midst of it and an issue arises and you're like, oh my gosh, is this really going to happen? You know, and God put the desire on your heart for you to buy the house. Mm-hmm. He's the one that told you that it was time to move. And this is the house that you're going to get and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And you have those little hiccups that come in. I always revert back to, just like you said, what's on the inside of me, the things that he's already done for us.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's the same God that got us through X, Y, and Z on mm-hmm. a previous journey. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I always revert back to those things. Like if it's God's will for us, those things have always ran so smoothly
mm-hmm.
that I know that it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
And I love being able to revert back to those things
mm-hmm.
because I'm like, you know, if something of the unknown is in the process of happening,
mm-hmm.
I'm always like, you know what? God got us through so many other things
mm-hmm.
and he has literally always been there for us. He's never left us in the dark.
Never.
He's never been like, well, I guess you're just your ass out now because there's just no way you're going to be able to do X, Y, and Z anymore. And I'm just going to leave you here and continue on to do other things for other people and whatever mm-hmm. the case may be. Like, no, he's literally never done that to us. And so I always revert back to that and be like, okay, he did this for me. He did this for me. And I go over basically what God's resume is for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And it's all been super successful. It's always worked out. And he's always made sure that we were taken care of.
this scripture, and then you gave me one last week that helps me in times like this. Psalms 23, 4 specifically. But you can read the whole chapter, and it's really good. But Psalms 23:4, even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. And I feel like the most important part of the dark, it says the darkest valley. It could have said the deepest valley or the dangerous valley, but it says the darkest because sometimes you can't see what your next step is. You can't understand what is the next move for me. And so you have to revert back to God because he sees everything. He knows. And so it says, even when I walk through the valley, the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. So when you can't see something, like that's like you see on TV, like somebody's in the house, you can't see that person. So you're afraid. You're scared because you can't see because it's dark. It's the same in life. Like there's a lot of things I don't know because it's the next move is not near me where I can't see. And I can't understand the next step because it's literally dark and I can't see. I'm in the dark.
Yeah.
He's the light. And so if I can continue to trust in him, my next step, I don't have to be afraid to take the next step because I know it's going to be with him.
That's good.
I've known that verse, but I've experienced that verse, especially during pregnancy and all this other stuff, because there's a lot of things I'm like, I'm uncertain of, but I'm okay with being uncertain.
Yeah.
I'm okay with not knowing. I'm okay with just living in today, going with the information I have today and moving forward, knowing that he's going to be there tomorrow.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's exactly what I was just saying. Like when you are in that dark place, like we've been there before. Mm-hmm. Oh, I've been here before. I know exactly what to do. And it's to trust and rely on God because he's going to make sure that your next step is going to be your best step.
Yep. And then the next scripture that you gave me, and I'll read in the NLT, but it's different. It means something different, every different version. And so it's so fun. Proverbs 24:10. If you fail under pressure, your strength is too small.
That's good.
It's a perfect reminder that we have a Savior and he designed us to always go back to him.
Yep.
He designed us to always need him. We'll never outgrow God.
Right.
Even though there's times where I feel like, hey, I know exactly what I need to do right now and I'll go do that and nothing will happen. Like I'm a free moral agent and he's given me experiences and knowledge and expertise to go fix coffee in the coffee pot. So I don't have to pray to him and say, God, help me make this coffee because I've done it over and over and over. I know how the coffee machine works, but there's bigger things that happen in our lives. We're like, God, I don't know. I'm not as certain as I am with the coffee pot.
Right.
I need you. And and by the scripture, it's saying it's okay for you to understand that you need a Savior.
Yeah.
It's okay for you to go through things and you not know exactly what to do.
Right.
And that's why you have to rely on him. So in tough times, you just can't crumble and say, well, I don't know what to do because I don't know what to do. And I'm so insecure in this. And you fall down and you're crying and whatever else. Like in those times, you have to lean back towards God.
Absolutely.
And if you're not doing that, you're going to crumble. You're going to basically run off your emotions and choose based off feelings and your personal desires. And I can give you experience after experience and time after time where I've done that myself and it hasn't worked out because I lean into my own understanding. And we're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to lean into his understanding. Going back to the valley and the darkest valley is like when we don't see our next step, if we can trust God and he'll guide us to our next step where we can prosper and we can develop and we can grow.
Absolutely. Read it in the Message translation because that one's my favorite.
If you fall to pieces in a crisis, there wasn't much to you in the first place.
Ooh, talk to me, honey. When I saw that, I was just like, oh my gosh. Cause you know, we were in the midst of going through something and I saw the scripture and I was just like, oh, and the Message version is the one that the Message translation was the one that spoke to me deeply because I'm like, you know, in my eyes, I'm like, if I fall to pieces over this,
right.
And at the time, it felt like it was huge, and it felt heavy on me, especially being pregnant and having hormones rushing through my body. It felt really heavy, and I remember having a praise and worship service in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. I'm fixing breakfast, and baby girl's in my belly, and she's kicking away, and a praise and worship song came on, and I was like, okay, this is it. And so I just had like this praise and worship session in the kitchen, and it was remarkable. It was amazing. I was like so in tune with God. And again, we have a conversation all day, every day.
Sure.
I talk to God all day, every day about everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but to have that praise and worship session
mm-hmm.
was so impactful and so powerful. And I encourage everybody to do that. Even when you're not going to the building, when you're not going to the church building, I encourage you to have that praise and worship session in your car, when you are taking a shower,
mm-hmm.
when you are cleaning the house,
mm-hmm.
when you're taking a walk, when you're walking the dog, when you're bathing your kids, whenever you're whatever it is that you're doing.
Right.
I encourage you to have a praise and worship session multiple times a week,
mm-hmm.
because those are the times when no one else can see the praise and worship that's going on in your heart at that moment. I really believe those are the times that are securing me in what God has already done before.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that scripture, had a praise and worship session, and I was literally in the kitchen on my knees and bawling my eyes out. And I was just thanking God, because I'm like, you have, all I could think was, he has never left us.
Mm-hmm.
God, you have never left us out in the cold. You've absolutely never left us stranded.
Yep.
You've never left us needing something or needing more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we serve a God of more than enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so after I saw that scripture, I was just like, if I crumble now after the stuff that he's already done for us, there's nothing to me.
I didn't learn nothing in that.
Exactly.
That other, yep. Mm-hmm. God is there. He's always there, even in times where you don't feel like he's there. And in this mist of pregnancy, yes, there's been thoughts of what if we have a miscarriage? There's been a thought of what happens if there's something wrong with the baby. There's been thoughts of that, but we have strategically built space to have that praise and worship session or have a sermon on instead of listening to secular music.
Uh-huh.
We've always talked and prayed together. So those times cancel out all the other negative thoughts, uh-huh. because we're actually speaking or singing. Kerville did this, and he's like, count to 1 to 10 to your head, and then say your name out loud when you get to 5. Your count stops because you said your name. When you say whatever you say, it outweighs the thoughts that you have in your mind.
Yeah.
And so there's times where when you're silent and you're not speaking to God and you're not praying and you're not spending time in the Word of God, your thoughts will remain heavy and will cause you to feel emotions, and you can go out and make a decision based off your emotions. And that's not how we've been designed to go through life. And in the midst of all these things that are coming in my mind and these thoughts, I can't stay silent. I can't stay stagnant in a sense where, you know, I'm just going to let the nest build up in my hair. I'm going to tear it down as soon as it starts to grab root or grab hold in my mind and replace it with another thought of God's grace and his mercy and his love and his kindness, because thoughts can ruin your life. Yeah. Like it's not where, hey, like I was addicted to drugs, you know, day one, like that happens, but there's always a precursor that makes it realistic in your life where you turn to that thing because you're trying to self-soothe yourself, or you turn to that drink because, oh, it made me feel good at that one particular time. I need to chase that feeling because I felt like depression, anxiety again. And so that thought is there with the action. The thought by itself isn't a sin. The thought of anxiety, the thought of depression, the thought of anything, that by itself is not the sin. The action coupled with that thought is the sin part, the part that breaks you away from God or puts distance away from you and God. And when those thoughts do come up, you have to cast them down immediately and move forward, because a thought is a thought. What's your therapist say all the time? Did you tell me?
Feelings are not facts.
Feelings are not facts. And there's times where you feel something really, really strong and really convicted, but it's not a fact.
Yeah.
It's not the reality that you're experiencing.
Especially somebody who lives with anxiety. You know, I have had anxiety for a really long time, and I didn't have a name for it when I actually started to focus on what is this thing that is happening in my mind?
Yeah.
Why am I thinking these negative thoughts, or why is it that, you know,
mm-hmm.
if King's not home and I hear a noise, I'm like, oh God, I'm going to die today. Somebody's breaking in and they're going to do X, Y, and Z. Or it, like, my mind would immediately go to like the negative thing.
Yeah.
And I will say, even if you have a relationship with God and it is a steady relationship with God, you still have to train yourself to immediately think the positive thing instead of the negative thing. And sometimes the negative thing will still creep up on you.
Absolutely.
Even if you've had a praise and worship service that day, even if you have had a great conversation with God, you've read 4 hours of your Bible, sometimes you still will have anxiety. And sometimes those negative thoughts will still creep in. It doesn't have to be, you know, there doesn't have to be a gateway. Sometimes it just happens.
Yep.
And I think because the people who live with anxiety, you have to be more intentional about the things that you're thinking. And when those thoughts do come in, you have to like take those things out with your words.
Yeah. You have to be smart about it. When things happen, like at, like during this whole pregnancy, thoughts have came up, but I wrote scriptures on my desk because I have the whiteboard on my desk where you can draw with the dry erase marker.
Yeah.
So on my desk at work, I've written down Proverbs 24:10 and I've written down Psalms 23:4 and it's actually on my desk to where if I get, go through something in my, I have a thought, a negative thought, I will see that note on my desk because it's written there.
Right.
On my home office upstairs, I have that written on a sticky note and it's a constant reminder. I have it on my phone somewhere, like in my notes, like it's always nearby to where if I'm ever out in the situation, I'm tethered to the truth. I'm brought back to reality with what the scripture says and what we've been talking about, what we're believing in. And I can, that can ground me and center me in a way where I can get through this.
Right.
No matter what comes up, I'm either at home, I'm either at work, in the car. And so I'm always connected or have a source to scripture. So I can listen to one of the podcasts that I listen to about scripture and Bible and Jesus. I have notes that we have in our mind, like our what we're believing for. And I can always tether that back to strength and understanding from him. I have scriptures written down at my desk. I can always call you and text you and we can have a conversation of just uplifting. Like I can call you and say, hey, I'm not feeling this. This is what I'm feeling. And you will all, you immediately bring me back out of that because it's who we, who you are in my relationship. But that's you, you're that person that I can always count to and come back to. If you don't have that, look for that in this next season. Like if you don't, if, and when I say look for that is start, make the note for yourself so you can have that relationship for you with yourself, with God, but also look to have somebody that you can always call on and talk to. That corner man that you always come back to when the round's over. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to be married and have a spouse and do that. Like you can do that being single. You can do that.
But if you are married, it need to be your spouse.
It does. It definitely
needs, or it needs to be somebody of the same sex.
Yes. You can't do this in a way where you're breaking or you're adding this into another relationship. Like if you have a friend that's doing it, like you, you kind of need to go to that person together. Like it needs to be somebody that's in the same tier as you. Like can't be somebody above you or somebody below you to, that you call in times of struggle. It has to be somebody on that same tier with you, and we're in the same tier, and you do that for me, and that's like you help me snap back out of it.
Because I mean, it's really important when we have the same goals as a married couple. We have the same goals and we're like, okay, we would like to have this for our life. And we've written it out on our vision board. We're praying about it and we're casting it up to God, and God's spoken to us and told us these things are going to happen. Whenever you have goals in your relationship, especially, I feel like there are times when those thoughts are going to come up and be like, you're not where you're supposed to be. You're not headed towards the light where God told you to go. You're making a mistake. What did you do today to work towards that goal?
Yeah.
Cause sometimes you don't, you can't do something every single day to work towards that goal.
Right.
Sometimes you have to pray for certain things and you have to wait on God to make things happen. You have to wait on God to make things move. And in a situation like that, and cause those are very particular, in a situation like that, you have to, you have to have that corner man where you're in this fight for your life and you're wanting these things to happen in X, Y, and Z. And when you get punched and it starts to make you dizzy and you start having anxiety, mm-hmm. and you go back to your corner man, your corner man needs to be like, okay, these are the scriptures that we went over, and God has never forsaken us. Mm-hmm. So that anxiety is just going to have to go away, because God has never forsaken us. He's never left us out in the cold. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's so important to have that person to help you maintain what the goal is, mm-hmm. to help you maintain the relationship, to help you maintain what God's promise was to you. Mm-hmm. If God said, you all are going to move and you need to sell this house, and something comes up and they're like, okay, you wanted $300,000 for this house, but we can only give you $250,000. If something in that realm, like something like that, something major, something mm-hmm. big happens, you need that corner man to go back and be like, okay, it's not what we wanted, but God's going to work it out for our good. Mm-hmm. We have to trust him because he's the one that told us that this was going to happen.
Absolutely. It's funny that, and I laugh because this kind of conversation came up again in the Bible study that I'm in. And it says, it talked about like our having hope and then having hope, like hope deferred, and like going through this life. It's hard to have hope and faith going through this physical life here on earth. And I came off mute because it's on Zoom, and I said, bad things happen. And sometimes it looks like evil prevails. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of, being Christians, we believe that at the end of this life, we're going to be where we're supposed to be with God.
Right.
We have a predestined time and a space where we're going to return where we need to be. And in our life, and in my life specifically, I'm like, hurry up, God, because I don't want to be here longer. Like, I don't want to be here. It's like we are in a foreign land and we are not home. Yeah. Even though we call our place that we live home, we're not where we're supposed to be because we're separated from a physical place that God created for us.
Yeah.
Because the Bible doesn't start in Genesis 3 when sin entered the world.
Right.
It starts when God made everything. He made man, and it was very good. And he made woman out of man. And they lived this life of abundance and focus and serenity in the Garden of Eden. Mm-hmm. That was God's intent for man and woman and all the animals. And that's another thing that I think about all the time. I was like, I wonder what animals' intent was in that design that God had for us. Because over time, animals are good or bad or whatever, but he created a snake. He created bugs, and it was good. It was fine. It was by design. He created all these things. But now a snake's not going to come in our house and you're going to think that's very good. But that could have been good before, because you're walking among all these other animals, tigers, elephants, whatever animal. And they had interactions because they weren't afraid. And it was in a created atmosphere where it was by design he created. So he created us not to fear these things. He created us to be live in perfect peace in this particular place. Mm-hmm. And so we know that we're going home. We're going to a place where we're going to be reunited with God and loved ones and everything. And that kind of skews my thought of the earth, because I don't want to be here. Yeah. I want to be there. And I'm kind of like in a hurry mode, like, God, like, okay, I went through this. I learned this. Like, when are we going to go? Like, is it time yet?
Right.
Because I know I have hope in the outcome that God has put in our lives. And what that does for me, and I know it does for you too, it puts a lot of things in perspective.
Yeah.
And so, yes, we think that the ultimate goal down the line is being with him. And what is our reasoning to be here on earth? But it is to be like God Jr. and heirs of his throne here on earth. Because there's a lot of people that still don't experience God like we experience God. They don't have a relationship, and they think God is one way, but he's really another thing. And so just like this podcast is another opportunity or a vessel for us to just, you know, give the truth in a sense where you get to live almost through our experiences and learn who God really is, because I want as many people as we can to fill up heaven and to empty up hell, mm-hmm. because that's not where we're supposed to be. You're going to go from a place where you're not supposed to be to another place where you're not supposed to be. And it's a lot worse than is here. Cause you think earth is bad. Hell is even worse. And I don't want to see people go from earth here to hell, another place that we're not supposed to be, I want them to experience and go to the place where we've all been, and we're not all been, but we're supposed to all supposed to go.
Right.
And I want that. And a lot of that perspective that I have of like, God, like, why am I waiting here? And like, what am I doing? But it's while you're waiting in that sense, since you have the understanding, it's your understanding to give it to others. And that's why I'm so excited to be a parent, because I can give that to a person that is connected to me. I can start her path on the right path, basically, of extending who God is. Because it's tough not knowing who God is or not getting to experience God as his true person and his true self, where I think God's mad at me because I said a cuss word on the bus the other day.
Yeah.
Like, God's not mad at you. He loves you so much where he's trying to save you to where you don't feel those things anymore. So I'm really excited to be a parent and to teach our daughter, like, hey, God is friendly. He is kind. He's loving. He is magnificent. And I want her to experience that from as soon as she can start to grasp the concept as early as possible.
Yeah.
So I hope this podcast helps in that way, where they get to experience who God is, or at least go through our experience and start to just quest themselves and start the relationship in a different way. Because there's a lot of times where I felt like I knew who God was, especially when I was like a teenager or early adult. And it's not, that's not the truth. The truth is God is so much more than that. And he's not mad at you. He loves you so much. And he sacrificed so much for you, where he wants you to be united with him in the future.
Absolutely.
It's amazing to go through this life and understand what your true perspective is and what your true focus is, knowing that God is who he is and he is love, and he's always going to be there for you. And because there was times that I thought God is nowhere near me. He doesn't like me. He wants me to struggle, and he will continue to basically like be distant from me.
Why did you think that?
Because I just thought who I made God to believe in my life is I had to act first. I had to do good before he accepted me. And that's not the case.
Wow.
It's amazing to experience God's love and then have him answer a prayer for us getting pregnant and all this other stuff. And living in that prayer of that answered prayer to say, like, God, you love me so much. You gave me this.
I've been thinking about that a lot. Being pregnant, I'm just like, you know, we didn't pray for us to get pregnant. We prayed for his will for our life.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, my will is for you to have a child. And so now I'm pregnant and I'm like, this is wild. Like, we could have never just done this on our own.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one tube is closed. You have PCOS. You don't ovulate. And for everything to line up perfectly for it to happen, you can't tell me that that's not God.
Right.
And so I sit sometimes and I'm like, dang, Lord, like, I know you loved us before, like, but this one just hits a little bit different. Not because it's a pregnancy, but just because of the specific prayer that we prayed.
Mm-hmm.
It could have not been pregnancy. It could have been us moving to Japan for whatever reason, you know what I mean? It could have been us, starting a new business or something else. It could have been something else, some like huge thing, but it was because of the prayer. It wasn't because of the pregnancy. It's because of the prayer and us saying, God, whatever your will is for our lives, that's what we want. Whatever you desire for us to have, we want those things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want anything else. If it's not your desire, I don't want it.
Right.
And actually really leaning into those prayers and God saying, okay, well, I desire for you all to have a baby.
Mm-hmm.
I desire for, you know, you all to do X, Y, and Z, or my will is for you to have a child,
mm-hmm.
is for you to raise a little girl.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to make sure that you are prepared for this.
Mm-hmm.
And I am going to give this gift to you. And so for him to give us this gift and say that this is his will for our life has been so powerful. And it has just made me thank him in a different way that I've never thanked him before.
Yeah. It changes your perspective when you live and stand in it, in your truth. It changes you and it changes your understanding of your focus and what you prioritize, because mm-hmm. the world says you have to go out and make as much money as you can, and you have to, sometimes you can cheat, sometimes you can lie and still be okay. And I don't want nothing the world has to offer.
Right.
I want everything that God has to offer, because that's the stuff that has substance, and that's stuff that has meaning, and that's the stuff that has life. So knowing that I have a divine appointment to meet with him at the end of this term, my life really doesn't start until I'm in heaven, and I'm excited for it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know, maintaining everything that he's given us, especially these gifts or these ideas mm-hmm. or, you know, whatever the case is, I feel like maintaining those is maintaining it the same way that you received it in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So we prayed for God's will to be more prominent in our lives. And I had been praying for, I'd also been praying for me to hear God's voice louder than I hear anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, honey. And I was still ignoring it. I'm sorry, Lord. I was still ignoring it. I was obeying. Mm-hmm. I was obeying.
Sure.
But I was still like, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And he would say, you know, drink the water because you're pregnant and mm-hmm. you need to drink the water for the baby. It's not mm-hmm. for you. It's for the baby. And I'm like, okay, I'll drink the water. But I also was just like, that baby could be here now, or that baby could be here in 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whatever the case is, like, I trust you. And, you know,
if we limit God with giving us the things that we want through our own understanding of how we attract things and give things, we will miss God and how he can bless us.
Yeah.
Because he operates on a different timeline. A minute to him is not the same time as 60 seconds here on earth.
Right.
Getting us in a position or moving us in a direction, like, he doesn't move at the same pace.
Mm-hmm.
And if we limit God in the way that he can bless us, if we say, God, I want this car, and what's going to happen is I'm going to pay this much down, and this is my monthly payment, and this is like how the world works of how you get a new car. What if you waited for 6 months, and in the 6 months, he's going to bless you with more money to buy the car completely with cash.
Mm.
But you don't understand that, because you're missing the opportunity of him moving and directing you to make the extra money to pay for that car in cash.
Because you want it so bad. It needs to be right now.
Because you want it so bad. Like, and that's the world's way versus God's way. And if we yield to God's way, yes, you might have to wait a little bit longer, but once you receive it, it's going to be received well enough where it's not going to be a stressful situation.
It'll be worth it.
It's going to be worth it.
Yeah, 1,000%. I couldn't imagine us having children when we were still trying to figure our stuff out in marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh my gosh, what if she would have came here before we, like, switched roles? Hmm. What if she would have came here and I was the person that I was back then? Oh, Lord, that would have been terrible, honey.
Yep.
That would have been some kind of terrible.
We wouldn't be in a position to raise the next generation better than ours.
And that was the goal,
mm-hmm.
is to, you know, if we do have children, we want to make sure that we're doing it God's way and giving our children back to God.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if we would have done that before, like, yep. especially in the beginning, like, absolutely. Let's say, you know, a couple of months after we got married, we wouldn't have known to do those things.
Absolutely.
So, you know, God's timing is, oh my gosh,
impeccable.
It is. Really is. And I don't want anything faster than what he wants me to have it.
Absolutely.
Because I know that he's preparing me during that time.
Absolutely. That's a great way to end it. Like, that's it. Yeah. God's way. That's it.
And his timing. Yeah. All right, guys. We'll see you in the next one.
Thanks, guys. You can follow us on Instagram at MarriageNoCap for inspiration to hold you over to the next episode.
Feel free to anonymously submit your questions.
Email us at MarriageNoCap@gmail.com.
Until next time, guys.
Peace easy.
Oh my God, turn the mic off.